Very good music this morning. I think Miss Denise was trying to take me out before I got started up here. That's a good thing. It's always good when God speaks to your heart and He softens your heart. And if you've ever known the mercy, the grace, and the love of God, it'll change you. It'll transform you. And the closer you get to God, the softer your heart will get for God and for people. So, this is already a hard message. I'm going to try not to cry through it since my spirit's already kind of like this morning. But the message this morning is going to be limiting the power of God. Never heard one of these preached. Just something God gave me. But it has some stuff in there that can really help us in our lives if we let God speak to our hearts this morning. And to help us and to strengthen us and to encourage us. One of the things that the Bible does tell us, it's given us for our comfort, it's given us to strengthen us, it's given us to teach us that we will not do the things that people did in the past. There was many times that the children of Israel and different people in the Word of God went astray and got off focus with God and bad things happened. But God wants us to stay focused. He wants us to be in tune with Him. He wants us to be led and guided by the Holy Spirit of God. So we can perform the will of God and do the things we're supposed to do. So I promise you the message is to help. It has to be, you know, as me and my wife are talking about, it's a message that it has to be preached with love and compassion. Messages like this could hurt somebody if your heart's not right with God and you gave it. Or it can be a great blessing to them. So without further ado, we'll be in Psalm 78. And I'll give y'all a minute while I just talk for a second. And after you get to Psalm 78, if you'll please turn over to Matthew chapter 13. It's very important to see this all the way from the Old Testament and in the New Testament. There's not many places in the Bible that you find where it talks about God restraining or withholding or limiting His power and His blessings upon His children. But there's things He wants us to know and to be warned of so we can enjoy all the blessings of God and God can pour His power on us to perform His will and to touch people's lives. The only reason to ever desire the power of God is to fulfill God's will and use it to help other people. And that's important to remember. It's never for selfish reasons. It's always for God's will. So in Psalms chapter 78, if you're there, I'll get you to please stand for the reading of the Holy Word of God. Psalm 78, verse number 1. Still hear a couple people turn. Give you time to get there. It says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He have done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them unto their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His ways, and forgot His works and His wonders that He had showed them." Then I'm going to get you to flip over to verse 40 and 41 in the same chapter. And the Bible says, "How oft did they provoke Him in the wilderness and grieve Him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel." And now I'm going to take you to Matthew chapter 13. It's going to be at the end of the chapter. This is when Jesus came back to his own people after he had gone and given parables. It's funny how Psalm 78 starts with parables, and then right here it starts with parables. But in Matthew chapter 13, verse 53, and it came to pass, I still hear people turning, that's fine. Take your time. It's important for us to see everything that God wants us to have today. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, whence have this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Dear Father, I pray and ask you'll help us this morning. I pray and ask that you'll help us to come here with open hearts, dear God, and just seeking your Spirit to just speak to us and speak the things that we need to hear and to look upon our lives and our hearts, God. And you know each and every need and every situation of every family here, God, and how they need your help and they need your mercy and your grace today. We just need your love to be poured out and to just draw us to you, dear God, so that we'll set our heart to seek you more each and every day. It's very easy to get distracted in this world with all the things going on. So I pray and ask you'll help us to refocus today and set our heart aright and focused on you, Lord Jesus. I thank you so much for this message, for this time, for these people, for this opportunity to speak to the hearts of your people, God. I pray that your Spirit will just have reign here amongst the people and in their hearts, and that you'll guide me and direct me and use me as you see fit this morning. May they just hear the voice of God. We love you. We praise you. Thank you. Ask all things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So in Psalm 78 we find here, it's an interesting psalm. It's a historical psalm. It's a psalm that covers all the way from Moses and the Exodus up to David. There were some things God's people got right, and there were some things God's people got really wrong. You know, sometimes we can be on track in life, and if we're not careful, we can get just like the children of Israel and get off focused and get off of where we're supposed to be with God, and next thing you know, we're going all kind of different directions in our walk and in life. It's interesting to me that Asaph is the one, according to the Bible here, says Mishael of Asaph. Who's Asaph? Not going to get on the big sidetrack here, just something to give you to think about. But Asaph means gatherer. And the Bible in 2 Kings chapter 18 records this particular person twice as the recorder. Now in the Hebrew, the explanation of what is a recorder, you know, we hear recorder can mean a lot of different things. So what is it speaking and telling us? It's someone who causes or brings into remembrance a record or a memorial of some kind of truth or ideas. And one thing we have here in this Word of God is we have a recording. We have a recording because God put it on somebody's heart to write these things down, and the Holy Spirit moved on somebody that we have this Word that we can come to and we can learn from and can help us if we allow God to help us. So he was a recorder of these things of the history of Israel. Now there's some debate or whether Josiah or who compiled it. Not important this morning. What's important is we have the Word of God that we can come to and to get these truths. Israel limited God's power and blessing in their life because of disobedience and things they participated in that wasn't pleasing to God. It's very easy to get all focused and do the things we love and the things that we know God's not necessarily happy with. There's a difference between what makes us happy and what makes God happy. You know, it's very easy to get caught up in doing all the things we love. Sure, many people love hunting. Many people love shopping. They love getting on Facebook. Some people use it for a good, godly manner. They'll give encouragement. They'll give help. But if we love all these things more than we love God, and we value these things more than we value our time with God, it's going to lead us into error, into trouble in our lives. But not only that, it gets our heart not focused on God. And when our heart's not focused on God, God can't use us to reach people and to help one another. So Israel limited God's power and blessing that he wanted to do for his people. God desires to bless his people. He loves his people. He cares for his people. When Jesus went away, he sent us the Comforter so we would not be comfortless. He wanted to ensure that we knew we would never be alone. We would always have somebody that would love us and care for us and protect us and watch over us when nobody else will in life. You'll find family that'll leave you and abandon you, and you'll find friends who you thought they were your friends. They were your friends while you were doing what was in their interest. But I'm going to tell you, if you get on fire for God, you'll find out real quick who's really an enemy of the cross and who really loves God. Because I'm going to tell you, those people get right up beside you. And they want to help you. And they want to be part of serving God and serving in the church and serving people anywhere they can. Just as Israel did, Christians can limit God's blessing and power in our lives. There's some conditions to understand in this that we're going to get into here in a minute. You know, we want God to have full reign in our life. We want him to have full control in our life. We want him to be able to use us in any way he desires. In whatever capacity pleases God's heart, we want him to be able to use us and utilize us. But if we're not careful, we can restrict and we can restrain. And the things God wants to do, God gives us such free will. He'll let us get into a lot of trouble, or he'll let us do a lot of good for him. Because it's important to God that we have that much free will. And some people understand, why has God given us so much free will? Because God desires your love. And if he has to make you do it, it's not out of a pure heart and a heart that loves him. It has to be out of a heart that for none other reason, but because God loved me first, I want to love him. When nobody else would have loved me, he never left me. I'll never forget all those years ago, 22 years ago, when the Lord Jesus ambushed me. That's the way I like to think, because I never saw it coming. Never saw it coming. Wasn't the first time I'd heard the gospel. Didn't mean anything to me. But I can assure you that the day that the Holy Ghost of God got a hold of you, and if you're saved, washed in the blood, born again believer, you know what I'm talking about today. You know when God spoke to your heart and showed you your condition. He showed you that nothing you've done would have measured up. That Jesus had to pay the price. That he had to be the one to offer up the ultimate sacrifice, the holy sacrifice, that we could have never done. That God had to extend his mercy, his grace, and his forgiveness to us because we could have never been good enough to do it. So as I think about those things in my life and in your lives, God saves you for a purpose. And we don't want to limit the things that God has and desires to use us for in our lives. You know, every sermon should have a focal point and a purpose and a direction that the children of God can follow. And my heart's desire for Beckwith Baptist Church is to live a life that loves God and follows God in such a way that we will not restrict in any way God from working in our lives. And if you get nothing else from this message, know that God wants to help you and to empower you to fulfill his will and to minister and to reach into people. Now, I'm going to go to Samuel chapter 15. I know some of you will go there. I have these particular scriptures written down. You're welcome to go there if you want. If I hear people turning, I'll just wait a second and go to something else right now. But in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23, we're dealing with King Saul here. It's important to understand that God's desire and purpose was not to have a king over Israel. God was supposed to be their king. But because they rejected God's authority and God's person and who he was, he gave them over to the desires of their heart, and it didn't do it for the benefit of them. But sometimes God will let us make our own bed if we want to go our own way. But I'm so glad that that's not where the story ends. There's a faithful God who over and over and over reached down his hand and helped his children. Sometimes he had to put them through great things and trials and tribulation in their life to get them back. And sometimes, even in the wilderness, the ones that just absolutely would not get right with God, God had to let them die off in the wilderness. Not that it pleased him, because he knew they just refused to repent and get right and focus and do the things God wanted them to do. If you don't want to go to the promised land, that's fine. You can stay right there in the desert. But if you want to go to the promised land, I'll take you to the promised land. But you've got to be willing to go the direction God wants you to go. So in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23, and I'm just going to tell you before you hear this word, a lot of children of God and us and me, and I understand this, when we hear rebellion, sometimes we get a little resistance. When we hear rebellion, we automatically think he's fixing to hammer me for something. But if you listen to the message as a whole and in context and understand what God wants to speak to you this morning about, you'll understand it's to help you, not to hurt you today. There's something to learn from King Saul here. So in chapter 15, verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, a lot of us, when we hear rebellion, you think, well, I'm not rebelling against God. To know if to do good and to do it or not is sin. When we know that there are good things that we are supposed to be doing and carrying out in our life, and we willfully know that we should be doing them and choose not to, that's a hard hit for me to take, for all of us, to realize God sees this as rebellion. See, Saul did part of what God asked him to do, but he didn't do everything God asked him to do. I didn't want to get focused for the sake of time this morning too much on the whole story. But basically, Samuel, by the mouth of God, was told to tell Saul to carry out judgment on the Amalekites. He was to kill every person there. The king, the children, the animals, everything. Now, I know that seems harsh to us nowadays, but they done great evil against God's people and slaughtered and killed God's people. And God was using them to carry judgment on those people in his time. And King Saul did not do what God told him to do. He left the king alive, and he left all the animals that he thought was good for sacrifice. But we're going to see here in the text here that didn't please God. That wasn't what God told him to do. God gave specific instructions, and he didn't follow it the way he should have. And stubbornness, in the same verse 23, is as iniquity and idolatry. And I'm going to tell you, we can all be stubborn sometimes. And there's just some things in life we don't want to do. Hey, I can tell you, I'm preaching to the choir. I'm surprised my wife's not over there yelling amen. And I can have a stubbornness to me sometimes. We all do. There are certain things we love in life and we want to do it and we're all about it. And there's other things we just don't want to have to do those things. So we can be stubborn sometimes. But if we get stubborn with God, that's a big problem. God's asking us to do something, even if it takes us out of our comfort zone, it's a problem. Because the way God sees it is iniquity and as idolatry. That's how bad he sees it. Now, in this generation, sadly, we've gotten to the time where we don't see sin many times as God sees it. We don't view it the way he does. And we get ourselves into a lot of trouble because of that. You know, because as much as he is a merciful and a gracious and a loving God, he's also a holy God. And he cannot bless and he cannot rejoice in us sinning. He will not. He will chastise us as his children. Why? Because he loves us. The Bible says, for every son they chastise not is not a son. Just like your children, we chastise and we correct our children to make them better and because we love them. Because we don't want them to grow up to be a bunch of heathens. I can tell you, when I was their age, I was a heathen. But I wasn't raised up knowing the things of God. I wasn't raised up in church like they are. So as I learned later in life, I submitted myself to the will of God and the Word of God, and I had to make a lot of restitutions and apologies for things I'd done before. Because it grieved me when I understood after God came inside. See, before, a lot of things didn't mean nothing. But when the Holy Spirit comes in, it's not the same anymore. Things change. Our actions and things that we once did, all of a sudden, it's not so fun anymore. We see how God sees it, and we see what it does in our life and other people's lives. Sin always destroys. Sin will always bring you further than what you want to go and keep you longer than you ever intended to stay. It will bring you to the darkest valleys, and praise God, he won't leave you there if you call on him. You might get yourself there, but he can get you out. There is nothing so bad anyone's ever done that God cannot help them, because if you were beyond help today, you wouldn't be here. The fact you're here, that God can still help you and encourage you and lift you up and cleanse whatever wrong you've done in your life. If nothing else, remember, God is faithful. Always. He's faithful to his word. He's faithful to listen to the cries of his children and help them and to bless them and to encourage them. And sometimes we need some encouragement. We need some strengthening. We need someone to build us up. You know, some people come to destroy, and God sends some people to restore, and some people to help, and some people to encourage. And point one here, it talks about the forgetfulness. And I'll turn back to Psalms real quick in that in just a second. I need to hurry up and go through this one, Saul, so I can get to the other part of the meat here. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. You know, the greatest thing that causes us not to do what we're supposed to do for God is fear. See, many people said, I can't get up there and sing a song. And they know God's putting it on their heart. Is it because you're more afraid of the people than you are of showing God you love him? And I get it. I'm not a singer. But if God asks me to sing, I'll sing a song. I might want to cover your ears when I do it. But I know that if God asks you to do anything, he'll be pleased when you obey and you do it. Doesn't matter what it is. And there's no small work in the work of God. Anything that God puts on the heart of a child of God is a great work. Reminds me of Nehemiah building the wall. Nehemiah said, Lord's given me a great work. He wasn't fixing to stop what he was going to do for the foolishness. He wasn't going to be distracted. He wasn't going to stop what he was going to do. When God puts something on our heart, we have to purpose in our heart that what God has asked us to bring through and to do, that we're going to do, and I'm not going to let somebody distract me, and I'm not going to let somebody discourage me. I'm not going to let somebody put some wall up or do something to stop me from fulfilling what God has for me. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to purpose in my heart to do it, and I'm not going to let nothing stop me, because I know if God asks me to do it, he'll be with me. And when I can't find a way over that wall, he'll break the wall down just like he did Jericho. There's always a way with God. He's a way maker when there is no way. But Saul, because of the fear of the people, he listened to man rather than listen to God. Now therefore I pray, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. Now I'm going to tell you before going further, Saul had some shallow, what I call it, repentance. Many people repent with their mouth but not with their heart. And you'll find out because they'll get angry and they'll get resentful and they'll get mad. Because if you come into the next verse, verse 26, and Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. And the Lord have rejected thee from being king over Israel. I'm just going to throw one thing out there and now moving on. The blessing that was designed for Saul, God gave to David. The position, the authority, everything that was designed for Saul to use for the glory of God, God had to take his blessing and give it to somebody else that would fulfill all his will. A man after his own heart. He might have just been a little ruddy sheep boy to everybody else, but God knew what he could do through him. So in verse 27, and as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle and rent it. He was angry with the prophet. He was mad, although the prophet didn't deal with him harshly. He just told him this is what God said. But he was angry and he was mad and he was vengeful in his actions because he did not want it God's way. He wanted it how he wanted it. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord have rent the kingdom of Israel from this day and have given it to thy neighbor. And this is one of the hardest set of verses to read right here in verse 28. That is better than thou. That's hard words coming from God. For God to tell you that you've gotten to a point with him that I'm going to give it to somebody else that's better than thou. Because none of us want to think of ourselves as any lesser than anybody. That's a hard pill if God has to tell you that. Now, point one, forgetfulness. If you go back to Psalm 78, and I'm giving gave you those things to think about, so as I draw all this together for you real quickly here in a minute, it'll all start to make sense and click. There's things Saul and the children of Israel did that caused God to be restricted, restrained. He wanted to do more. He wanted to bless more. He wanted to do so much more for his people. But he couldn't because God operates through faith. God operates through obedience. And God operates through love. That's important to remember. You find over and over and over in the New Testament where it always talks about the work of love and doing things in love. That's important. If we do it with a resentful heart, is that going to be pleasing to God? No. It's not just doing the action. It's the heart behind doing the action that matters. So in Psalm 78, verse 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. So the first biggest mistake that God gives us in his word to show us that they did that caused a restriction and a restraint on the things God wanted to do in their life and as a collective group. And if I wanted to bring that into life, into our day and age now, God wants us as individuals and as families and as the ecclesia, the church of the living God, to understand there's more God wants to do with us. But if we're not careful, the things he wants to do, he won't be able to do if we are not willing to follow what God wants us to do. But if we are willing and we have pure hearts and we really, truly desire to do the work of God, God will use us. And he will use us in a great and mighty way. But there are things that we have to be careful of, just as there's an example here in Israel. Just as there was in Christ's day. There is more God wanted to do that he couldn't do. And I'm not saying that he has withheld his hand on you today. Understand, not in the negative kind of sense. It's to be warned and understand that if we learn and understand these things, that we won't fall into the same mistakes as they did in the past. It's to become better and to do more for God because we can all do better and we can all do more. So they forgot. They were forgetful. There's two things it says they forgot. They forgot the works of God and they forgot the commandments of God. You know, if you think about all the times God has helped you and God has delivered you and got you out of trouble and blessed you in your life, those memories are important. Everything God's ever done for you and to you and through you, remember those things. Don't forget those things. Because when you get into the valley, you're going to need to remember everything God has done and will continue to do if you'll trust in Him and not forget God and not forget the things God has already done. And He can do more through you. So they forgot God's works and they forgot his commandments. You know, Jeremiah 29:13 says, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. You know, when I think about that verse, we search for a lot of things in our lives. Search for a lot of pleasures, a lot of comforts, a lot of things that makes us happy. But let's put this into a biblical perspective that we can get and we can understand. Because just as they forgot the works of God and the commandments of God, you won't forget what's important to you. Now think about this. Let's say you lost a key to your vehicle. Something really bad just happened at your house. Kid broke a leg, sticking, got a bone protruding through. You're worried about your child. They're in danger. Something bad could happen to somebody down the road in a medical emergency that you're trying to help. All of a sudden, you can't find the keys to your vehicle. Now, 5 minutes ago, your keys didn't mean anything. But you'll tear your house apart when it becomes valuable. Reminds me of a lady cleaning her house in the New Testament. She was going to find that lost silver. And she rejoiced when she found it. Now, what if we sought for God so hard that we found Him? You know, we can seek for everything else in our life that we love, but where's God in all that? We can make time for sports events, and we can make time for town runs, and we can make time for everything that we want to do in our life. But when's the last time that our heart was burdened so much just because we loved God that we just wanted to make time to spend just with Him? Not for anything we wanted, just because we love God who have loved us. See, if their heart wouldn't have moved from God, they wouldn't have forgot everything God done. So God has to deal with our hearts before He can get our actions right. The heart's right, the actions will come naturally. But when the heart's not right, the actions are never going to come forward. And if they do, it'll be out of resentment, it'll be out of a hard heart, and it'll be partially, not completely, as God wanted us to do it. We can become just like Saul. We can let every fear and every distraction under the sun cause us to do everything but what God wants us to do. So they limited the power of God and the blessings of God by their forgetfulness and the works of God and the commandments of God. Point two, by their faithlessness, their unbelief, and their fear. The greatest enemy to the work of God is for us to fear people. We should never be afraid of people. We should never be afraid of the enemy. Do we remember who our God is and how strong He is and what He's capable of? And the same God that delivered them yesterday is the same God that we serve today. There's no wall too high in your life that He can't break down. There's no enemy so strong that the God can't bring them down. The battle is the Lord's. And we are not in a physical battle these days. We are in a spiritual battle. If the devil can get in our minds and get our minds destroyed and full of fear and full of doubt and full of unbelief, we will come just like the children of Israel and not do the things of God. And it will also restrain the very blessings and power of God on our life to do great things. So they limited the power of God in forgetfulness of the works and the commandments of God. They limited God because of their faithlessness, unbelief, and fear. In Psalm 78:22, it tells you, because they believed not in God and trusted not in His salvation. That's a sad place to come into somebody's life, where we get to the point where we're no longer trusting in the ability of God and understand the salvation in the context that's being used here is talking about His power of deliverance over anything that can come against you. See, God's already saved you if you've been born again. But there's going to be some times in our life we're going to need God to deliver us and our everyday walk. Because there's going to be obstructions, there's going to be problems. Every time you go to work, get ready. The devil's going to lay a stumbling block before you. You can mark that down. And he already has his ones planned out working for him, even if they're doing it blindly. That's going to cause and cast a stumbling block before you. But you know, one of the other hard verses, Jesus said, do good unto them that despitefully use you and abuse you. Love them and do good unto them. Don't desire vengeance. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. We have to give those things to God, and in His time and in His way, He will deal with people and circumstances. We don't have the right to what some people will call righteous anger to go be ugly to somebody. I get they were probably not right how they treated you. But it says not to render evil for evil. Just because they've done wrong unto us doesn't give us the right to do wrong unto them. Rather, we should be the light of God. We should bear His light and His love. And you know, when you just love somebody that's mean to you, it messes them up. They can't understand that. That's one thing they can't understand. Why would you still care for me after I've treated you the way that I have? Because when God comes inside, you can't help it. Matter of fact, when you see people's life in turmoil and problems, it'll burden your heart. And a lot of times we don't realize that what is going on in their life to make them feel that they are justified to act this way to people. It's just something to think about. It's a lot easier to look at ourselves instead of looking at other people and understanding what are they going through that I can't understand. That they might just need me to love on them right now. Even when it's hard, and even when they ain't wanting to let me, I still have to try. You know, in faithlessness, I'm fixing to speed all this up. Time clock, if it can get me. They forgot. They limited the power of God by forgetfulness in the works of God, the commandments of God, by their faithfulness, unbelief, and fear. And you know, when people, it's hard for us to think that our belief or our trust is not as strong today as it might have been yesterday. It's hard for us to think about sometimes. But I think about this quick story and illustration I recently read, and it's a quick one so I can move along here. There was this tightrope walker years ago in France. He used to lay tightropes and do tricks all across these tightropes. And if anybody's ever seen a tightrope walker, it's an amazing thing to see. You don't have to worry about me getting up there. I don't even like being 5 feet off the ground. I just do it when work makes me do it. I'm perfectly fine having my feet planted on the ground. But anyway, this guy was good. Crowds would come all around. They'd watch him. He could take his little baton thing, whatever they call it, and he'd walk across that rope. And he was even so good, he could take wheelbarrow and walk across that thing. That's good. Well, they had this connoisseur, this businessman, who approached him one day, said, I have a challenge for you. I want to see how good you really are. Said, I want to take you to Niagara Falls, and I want to run a line from America to the Canadian, over to Canada. So they set this tightrope up for this guy to do it. He walks across it the first time successfully. Of course, the crowd cheered. I cheer too because I'm thinking he's crazy to do this because if he falls, there is no chance of hope right now. So he makes his way all the way back. Then he goes again, but this time he grabs a wheelbarrow all the way across. And that's a great distance. Takes that wheelbarrow, goes all the way across. Then he puts a blindfold on himself. And he comes back across that same rope with the blindfold. I'm fixing to show you something about belief. He said, now do you believe I can do it? He said, oh yeah, I believe. I believe the first time I saw you do it. He said, then get in this wheelbarrow. I'm putting the blindfold back on. If you truly believe, we're going to test and see how strong your belief is. Get in that wheelbarrow. I'm going to put the blindfold back on, and I'm going to take you across that rope to the other side. Now that's a whole nother level of belief, isn't it? But how much do we trust God? Do we trust God enough if He told us to get in that wheelbarrow? Knowing that we could face certain death at one mistake. Do we trust God so much and not doubt Him that we know that He could safely bring us across any obstacle in our life? That's how strong our belief in God needs to be. That we can trust Him that much that no matter what storm comes our way, He has the power, He has the ability, He can deliver us from whatever comes against us. Children, Israel lost blessings and power of God because they got their heart, they got their focus, they no longer trusted in God the way they should. But the last thing, sin. In Psalm 78:8, because of their forgetfulness and because of their fear and unbelief, they fell into sin. And it falls in that order. You don't just accidentally get your life into a bad life of sin. If your heart is absolutely mended in with God's, and every single day you're doing everything you can to please the Lord, you're not going to be focused on all the pleasures of this life because they're going to be dead to you. They're not going to mean that much to you. Your real heart and focus is going to be on the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. But in Psalm 78:8, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. God wants us to not make the same mistakes that many of our fathers have made and the ones before them. See, it doesn't matter what my daddy did or your daddy did. What are you going to do for God? How are you going to live your life for God? See, many of us can think of all kinds of mistakes our parents might have made. And if we allow those thoughts to conquer us in our mind, we will always treat people just like they treated us. Or we can learn from what our parents did. And some of us had good parents. Some of us might not have. And I don't want you to focus on your mom or daddy as a bad parent. That's not the object here. Because we all make mistakes. And we can all do better with our children. But the bottom line is, He wants us to do better than what others have done in the past and to learn from the Word of God. These things are given us for our learning, for our instruction, for our comfort, for our help, that we would follow after God going forward and not do as they've done in the past. God wants us to not be forgetful of His works and His Word. He wants us to not have a life of fear and unbelief about the things we cannot control or understand. He doesn't want us to worry. He wants to set our hope and trust in Him. And He doesn't want us to get an evil, hardened heart that becomes stubborn and comes rebellious and just doesn't want to do it. He wants us to have a heart that is softened and moved for Him. You know, if you go to the very next chapter of King Saul, and I'm not going there, the very next chapter with King Saul, God took the Holy Spirit from him and put an evil spirit on him. Saul didn't have a repentant heart. He had a hardened heart. He tried to kill David all the days of his life. He hated David because he knew that God had chosen David instead of him when it could have been him. But because of his actions, God chose not to choose him. That's a hard pill to swallow. You know, I think of Samson, and I'm closing here. Samson's in Judges chapter 16. You realize the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit departed from Samson and he never even knew it. That's a scary thought. Now understand, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is different these days than it was in the Old Testament. In the New Dispensation and New Testament, He seals you. He indwells you. You never lose the Holy Spirit, but you can lose the very power of God on your life by not living a life that honors God and is pleasing to God and has us walking in His ways. So don't let our fears and don't let our unbeliefs, and don't let our forgetfulness of all the testimonies, all the great things God's done in our life, cause us to start doubting Him now. Don't let yourself limit God in your life and in your family and in the church, because God can do anything through you if you're willing to let Him and you're willing to obey His voice and listen to the things He asks us to do.